Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Griffin, is there any necessary action on the executive session items?
No.
That being the case, we are past the time that we may begin the public hearings at 7:30 p.m. I would like to encourage the public, because of the hour of the night and the full schedule that we have, if you could please try to keep your comments succinct. I'd ask the attorneys to respect the time frame. It's very important we get all the information on the public record, but it is not necessary to repeat or to drone on for purposes unnecessary for our decision-making process. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Griffin.
When council holds hearings on zoning applications, they are considered to be legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to decide how to respond to the request of the applicant that their land be either rezoned or that they be granted a conditional use. We'll start each public hearing will start with a brief overview given by Mr. Lank, who's the Director of Planning and Zoning. The purpose of that is to tell council what happened on that application when it was before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After Mr. Lank gives that introduction, members of council may ask him questions. After they've satisfied themselves about their questions, then we will open the floor to the applicant, who will begin by giving their presentation. After the applicant's presentation, then we will give members of the public an opportunity to speak. If you're one of those persons who wish to be recognized, when we open the floor to public comments, we'll ask that you raise your hand so that we'll know you want to be recognized. After you're recognized, come to the podium, state your name, your address, before you make your statement. The reason for putting your name and address on the record is so that we'll be able to tell who made what comments, if a tape ever has to be prepared of the hearing. If you have a cell phone or a paging device, we ask that you turn it off or turn it to silent service. If you are with a group who is speaking on a particular thing and you agree with the speaker before you, we ask that you not show your agreement by applause or audibly, but make your own statements when you're recognized at the appropriate time. Mr. Lank?
Yes, before we start, if I could expand upon that for the benefit of the new council members. What I've passed down and what they received in the mail from last Friday's mailing is a copy of the Planning and Zoning Commission's report for the December 11th, 2008 meeting. It gives a summation of the comments we received, both in writing and oral comments made by the interested parties in the application. Typically, it gives a decision on each case. Most of the cases for this evening were deferred, so there will not be action on some of those cases until the commission makes a recommendation. The commission has 45 days from the date of the public hearing to make a recommendation. So with that, based on the amendment to the agenda earlier, conditional use number 1818, the application of Memorial Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated will be the first application. And this is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a fire station to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 3.978 acres, more or less, lying southeast of Road 224, also known as Slaughter Beach Road, 700 feet southwest of Road 224A, also known as Rutt Road. As I said earlier, these applications were heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission on December 11th. On this application, we heard comments from DLDOT, comments from the County Engineering Department, comments from the Sussex Conservation District. William Tobin, was treasurer of the Memorial Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated, was present and gave testimony. He also submitted copies of reference of eight letters in support of the application from area residents. A set of building plans were submitted for the fire station. There were four parties present in support of the application that gave no testimony. There were no parties present in opposition to this application. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1818 for Memorial Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated based on the record and for the following reasons. One, the conditional use for a fire station of a public nature, and it will promote the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Sussex County. Two, it is located in a rural area where it will have a minimal impact on neighboring or adjacent properties. Three, the fire company has stated that the substation is necessary to maintain and improve its fire protection and emergency service to current and future residents of this area of Sussex County. It will significantly improve response time for the community and Sussex County residents. And four, this conditional use is subject to the following conditions. A, any security lighting shall be screened away from neighboring properties and county roads, and B, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. I received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date since December 11th. That's all I have, gentlemen and lady, unless you have questions.
Is the applicant present?
My name is William Tobin. I live at 22645 Harbison Road, Harbison, Delaware. I am treasurer of the fire company and chairman of the board of directors. Mr. Lank has spoke about our facility. Really, the main reason we've done this has been a five-year plan to be able to get equipment off the beach. When we have flooding, it cost us $8,000 the last flood we had to get equipment back in order to put it back on the road to be safe. The other problem is it will increase our response time by 8 minutes.
Yes, sir.
By 8 minutes to serve our community. We actually only have three families that live on the beach that serve the fire company, so that puts us closer to Argo's Corner. And this is Terry Jester. He's our chief. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Have you anything to add, Mr. Jester?
No. Like Mr. Tobin said, we've been 5 years into planning. We were almost all 5 years trying to find someone who would, you know, sell us a piece of property, and we're looking forward to getting this building up so we can get to our citizens in our area a lot quicker. That's our main goal.
And in reference to the other fire companies around us, it's 0.9 miles from Argo's Corner on the beach road. So we're not jeopardizing our relationship with another fire company by district.
Do any other council members have a question or comment? If not, Mr. Griffin.
Who's going to serve the Slaughter Beach now?
I'm sorry, sir?
Who's going to serve the Slaughter Beach?
We're going to leave the main. I'm sorry. I should have explained ourselves. The station we're putting up is enabling us to take our equipment for bad weather off the beach. We have a deed restriction on the property. The deed restriction is there will be no siren, be no antennas. We will put a fence around the property. There will be no meetings. There will be no parties. There will be no functions. It is strictly a fire facility to house equipment and to get us out off the beach in bad weather. Our main station will stay on the beach.
Okay.
Our main station will serve as our hall to have dinners and other fundraisers. I apologize.
That's okay.
So it'll operate like a substation?
Yes, sir. Yes. That's correct.
Like the one on 24?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're doing. Housing about half of our equipment there. Mm-hmm. We're going to house our ambulance out there,
mm-hmm,
because we have done the pinpoint thing to make sure that, you know, and most all of our runs are out in that area. So that's, I mean, we're definitely going to be putting the ambulance out in that area.
And the other problem is we have no water. We're going to put an 18-inch well in, 1,000-gallon storage tank. So if we need water for fighting fire, we can go there, fill from back of the station or the front of the station to assist in a rural fire.
We've been very lucky for the 54 years we've been in existence that we've not been wiped out, and, you know, We want to be proactive and plan for the future. And this building's big enough to house everything that we have in case of an emergency.
Very good. Thank you. If there are no other questions, we'll continue the public hearing.
Yes. The recommendation of planning and zoning was that that there be two conditions, that any security lighting be screened away from neighboring properties.
Yes, sir. We've taken that into consideration. Okay.
And that final site plan be subject to review of the commission. Were there any other conditions you wanted to suggest?
No, sir.
If that concludes your presentation, we'll see if there's anyone here from the public who has any comment.
All right, would you like me to sit down?
Well, or let's see if anyone's here, and if there are, we'll ask you to yield the speaker stand to them. Is there any member of the public here who would like to be heard concerning this application for a conditional use to approve a second fire station for the Slaughter Beach Fire Company? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. We'll close the public hearing and let council.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Planning and zoning did rule on this in the affirmative, Mr. Griffin?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We can vote on this.
And we could vote on this. I would, if there are no additional comments, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
You want me to read the title?
Yes, I would.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a fire station to be located in a certain parcel of land, Cedar Creek 100, containing 3.978 acres.
Mr. Wilson, would you like to make that motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept this ordinance.
I'll second it.
We've got a motion from Mr. Wilson, a second from Ms. Deaver, to approve conditional use number 1818 as read with the conditions. Are there any additional discussions? If not, I'd call the question. Ms. Deaver?
Mm-hmm. Based on the advice from planning and zoning and what I heard, I would vote yes.
That's a good point Ms. Deaver makes. It is important that we give reasons for our vote to build the public record. Mr. Vincent?
Vote based on the findings of fact and the recommendation and the fact that I do commend the fire department for realizing there are some issues with response times in some areas, and they're moving forward to do that. I certainly vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I certainly vote yes.
Mr. Cole?
I vote yes. There's clearly a need established by the applicant for this substation.
For the reasons given, I vote yes. Motion carried.
Next, conditional use 1754, Mr. Lang.
Yes, conditional use 1754 is the application of John J. Straholik and James G. Straholik to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a boat storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 9.39 acres, more or less, lying at the northwest corner of U.S. Route 113 and Road 565, which is also known as Deer Forest Road. For the benefit of the council, I pass down copies of the survey of the property, show the proposed building location, and a wooded area that is proposed to be utilized for the purpose of boat storage. The Planning and Zoning Commission again held public hearing on December 11, 2008. We heard comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department, the Sussex Conservation District. Robert Mills, a friend of the applicant, was present on the applicant's behalf due to illness, and the applicant could not be present or attend. We were advised that the entrance will be from Deer Forest Road, that the applicant would do whatever the county requires, that a 50-foot wooded buffer is proposed along U.S. Route 113 and along the tax ditch, that the business will be open 7 days per week, that the boat storage area will be snowed and fenced, that no security lighting is proposed, that security cameras will be installed, that the proposed building is planned for the temporary storage of boats and vehicles, and that a sign will be installed on the building, not the site. The Commission found that there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the Commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson was concerned about the lack of record or lack of any real record of information. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that the application be denied due to the lack of a record to support the application, and that motion carried 5-0. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Is Mr. Strahulik here tonight?
My name is John J. Strahulik. I live at 3871 East Drive, Stryacres, Dykesboro, Delaware. And I want to apologize to the president and the council for me not being here at the other meeting. I've taken ill, and my son was out of town, and he couldn't fill in for me, and I had Mr. Mills. I called him, and he filled in for me.
This is your opportunity to explain the this is your opportunity to explain the application and what you want to do.
I think my battery went dead.
Go ahead, Mr. Griffin.
Could you tell us what you would like to do?
Oh, yes. Small boat storage that consists of jet skis and a very, very, very light repair.
The application's for a boat storage facility, and
yes.
It's...
I have a building described on a blueprint, 40 by 100. And that was for a little work area and people that want to store their boats in the building out of the weather that would provide for it, which I don't think 40 by 100 is very big.
Would all the boats that are stored there be in the building, or would there be some in a yard?
There would be some outside.
Sorry. You plan to erect a fence?
Yes.
Aside from the building and a fence, is there anything else in the parking area?
A parking area, I think it's designated on the blueprint there.
Okay. Well, our blueprint doesn't show a building, does it?
Yeah, it does.
It does, along County Road 565.
Oh, okay, up in front. Okay, that's part of the site. Okay, I'm sorry.
Do you plan to have any form of septic system on this property?
Should have it on there for a small office in that building that I've got put up.
So it would be an individual septic system? Okay. And is this land that you own?
Yes.
Is the intention to clear the 9 acres?
Pardon?
Is it your intention to clear the 9 acres where all the trees are?
Yes. I already started on that.
Okay.
And I'm better than 3/4 clear.
Okay. And you're leaving, you intend to leave a buffer where on the 113?
I was going to leave a buffer all the way around the whole perimeter.
Okay,
on Deer Forest Road. That's where
the building is.
There's the buffer there now.
Okay.
It's all over 30 feet of trees that I did not take down.
So you're looking at a 30-foot buffer everywhere but except where the building is?
Yes.
Okay.
Would there be any security provided other than the fencing?
It all depends how the business grows.
Is that where the old Liberty Bell used to be? Is that part on that same corner, the old Liberty Bell store? Is that where the old Liberty Bell store used to be?
Yes.
On that corner?
Yeah.
Have you heard anything from the Pine Knoll folks that live in Pine Knoll?
Putting a home on it?
The neighbors. Have you spoken with the neighbors about it?
I don't have no trouble with the neighbors.
Pine Knoll. I see Pine Knoll subdivision next door.
Yeah, Pine Knoll subdivision is a strip lots along a public road. It's road frontage lots, and they go over to Route 213.
So they back up to this?
They back up to the site. Have you had any objection from any of your neighbors?
None. Matter of fact, the neighbors were looking out for me.
Well, they were notified, Mr. Light?
Yes, everyone within 200 foot should have been notified.
Notified by.
But you intend to put a buffer behind Pine Knoll, those lots, right? You're going to leave a 30-foot buffer of trees?
Yes.
Behind there and then on the other side all the way around. Okay, everywhere but where the building is.
All except on Deer Forest Road.
where you front Deer Forest Road, but...
There is an entrance right up, you come off the red light, make a turn, and I moved the entrance down further so it wouldn't be congested, you know, people right. turning around.
Yeah, that'll be subject to Delta.
So I'm assuming all these boats are going to be trailered, stored on trailers?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. On the trailers themselves are not blocked up in any way, or?
Well, after it's fenced in, it'll be locked up.
Blocked up?
Yeah. I mean, the yard
with,
would be
with fire up. Lanes in case you should have a fire or this kind of thing?
Pardon?
Fire, different distance between the boats. I'm just curious about that.
Driveways. Driveways between rows of boats.
Yeah, I'm. What kind of, yeah.
Now, Lawrence, in the past, we've had similar applications where they actually line them up. Will planning and zoning require site plan showing?
Yes, it will. They will require a site plan if this use is approved, and they will show us the layout of how they intend to lay out the boots.
Okay, even though we don't have one in front of us tonight,
right, it could be open. Sometimes I'm sure we've got a few applications that they just took them in, set them in for storage, and they vary in size. Some are small, but they do grow. In this case, he's stated a little differently from Mr. Mills, who spoke for him on behalf at the commission meeting, that Mr. Tolick is saying that they are going to be a 30-foot buffer. Mr. Mills said there was 50. And I have to give Mr. Mills credit for trying to give us a record at commission public hearing.
Well, how can we do business if we don't have an applicant coming to planning and zoning?
Well, he was sick, and his son was out of town, so his
I understand that, but is that the process?
It was the last minute. It was
you don't
the
have
last
it rescheduled?
Thing. No. He just has to have someone represent him on his behalf.
And somebody was here to represent, so the application did go forward.
The application was heard.
It was not done very
commission
well.
Didn't feel it was appropriate to get a good record of support.
Gotcha.
Have there been any conditions prepared?
In support, show support? No.
No.
I haven't heard, it's in my district, I haven't heard any complaints. None.
Mr. Griffin, would it be appropriate to see if anyone is here to comment on this?
One more question, sir. How many days a week and what hours of the day do you plan to be open?
It would be open 5 days a week and half a day on Saturday.
Okay. And would there be, during those hours, would there be someone there to check people in?
Me.
Okay.
Are they going to be there for daily storage, or wouldn't you have a lot of, is this for winter storage, or what is this for now?
Well, a lot of people will store their craft.
In the winter?
Not having them in their driveways.
Uh-huh.
For example, if you lived in Pennsylvania and they see a storage place, they say, well, it's cheaper to put it in storage, then I don't have to trail it back and forth.
So, but they would be wanting their boat overboard for the weekends, wouldn't they? And bring it back on Sunday?
I'm not getting anything big, just plain jet skis, personal watercraft.
But they would need access on the weekends, would they not?
Yeah, well, I'd be there on the weekend.
Did you say?
Saturdays.
So you would be open Saturday, half a day?
Yeah.
And not Sunday?
Well, they're coming down Thursday night and Friday.
And they don't come back on Sunday night?
Well, I plan on having an electric gate with a card. If I'm not there, they can get in and put their craft away.
And you let them do that? You just let them do that?
Pardon?
You just let them put the boat in themselves?
I'm not making you out for some of my...
Okay.
You have to excuse my... I'm a little hard here.
There seems to be a little confusion about you being closed on Sunday.
Closed on Sunday.
But yet folks could still bring their boat back on Sunday.
Well, you can have a electric gate with a pass card, credit card. You could open it and go in. Nobody else can use it but you, whoever's got the card.
So you would be closed on Sunday for new customers?
Well, if I'm there, I'll be open. If I'm not there, I'm not there. They can get in and out.
Okay. A do-it-yourself boat storage yard.
Pardon?
Like a do-it-yourself. They come in and bring the boat in and drop it off and drive away. You're saying?
Yeah, just like you put your car in a garage.
Gotcha.
Lawrence, I have a question. Just information, I guess. I see that the conditional use is for a boat storage facility.
Right.
Yes.
and he has specified he's also going to work on boats. Do you need to, I mean, do you need to state that in your application?
I didn't hear that said.
He said the light mechanical work.
That's fine. Well, it typically would relate to that facility, but he's for those people using the facility itself, but not typically to just bring in boats to repair. It wasn't applied for. Mm-hmm. It was for strictly for storage.
Well, when I say I work on a boat, say it's wintertime. They're getting up. They're not using
their winterize. Craft,
so I have to winterize them.
Yeah, well, that's typical
what I
boat
mean
storage.
By small boat repair.
That's typical boat storage accident where they bring in boats and they winterize them. They cover them. Some of them cover them with
shrink wrap.
Shrink wrap.
Right. Yeah. I understand. I just when his first comment was light repairs.
Right.
Well, to me, it was not just winterizing.
Right. You're right. Some wording then should be clearly specified that the mechanic work, the light mechanic work, is for
winterizing only.
Winterizing and
repairs or something.
You know, activities associated with boat storage.
And would need to indicate whether it's be performed inside or outside.
Will you be working on engines, outboard motors?
No.
Will you be painting boats?
Who?
Painting bottoms, painting boats, bottoms,
no
whatever.
Painting.
No, none of that.
Oh, I painted for 53 years. I'm done painting.
I don't blame you.
Well, I guess a while ago, is this for storage of boats or for personal watercraft, for jet skis?
Personal watercraft, which is jet skis.
Okay, so really there's no boat storage, really. It's
oh, yeah.
Yeah, there will.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the application said boat storage, so it could be either.
It could be either.
Well, a jet ski you can't classify as a boat.
Well, if I had a 50-foot boat and I wanted to bring it in there, would I be allowed to bring it in and block? And you could block it up for me? I could leave it there?
Well, that's not what my primary goal was. I was strictly for personal watercraft.
So you would not object to us putting a condition restricting you to only jet skis, personal watercrafts?
Yeah.
Okay. If we put that condition on there and somebody brings a 20-foot fishing boat and we have an inspector drive by and see it there, you would be in violation of your conditional use. You understand that?
Yeah, I understand
okay.
that.
No sailboats.
No.
Well, some of them have drop keels, you know. They.
Okay.
What do I know?
I think we're flushing out the truth.
How long have you owned this land?
Pardon?
How long have you owned this land? How long have you owned this land? How long has this property been yours?
Almost 4 years.
Okay. Makes sense. We're going to I got a
suggestion. Lawrence has heard everything. Why don't we get Lawrence to put something in a format that we can all be handed and read it, and we defer on it, and we put it on the agenda for next week and take action on it, so that we don't get confused here. But it'll be a application just for personal watercraft, light mechanical work. A buffer. Buffer's 30 or 50. Your friend said 50. You said 30.
Well, 50. It's
want to split the difference?
Split
now. It probably should be major, but he's already cleared the majority of it.
Okay.
It's probably more than 30.
Let's hear from the public, and then I think Mr. Cole makes an excellent suggestion. We'll probably defer on this tonight to allow Planning and Zoning Director to come up with some conditions, and we'll consider it in the near future. But, Mr. Griffin, if you could possibly call the public to comment.
We're going to give the public a chance to speak if there's anyone here. So, if you don't mind, could you take a seat?
Thank you.
Is there anyone here from the public who would like to be heard concerning this application? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. We'll close the public hearing. What's your pleasure?
I'd like to make a motion. We defer action to have the staff develop some conditions for the application and then put it on when we're in the future.
Do I get a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Cole and a second by Mr. Vincent to defer this to allow staff time to put conditions together. Is there any further discussion?
I was listening to the discussion. I can't quite make out what difference it makes whether we've got a 12-foot boat or a 15-foot boat.
No, he doesn't even want boats.
I mean, what difference does it make?
Well, no, I know. Well, we're going to do the conditions. Okay.
Well, it's open for discussion here, you know.
Yes, it is.
What the council does on occasion ask me to do when there's sometimes a recommendation of denial is to prepare some suggested conditions of approval so you can consider them before you take action. Staff will prepare them, and you can add to or reduce.
Well, if he's going to push us out all but 50 feet, back in like the boondocks, it's away from everybody, nobody said anything. I don't know where it's going to hurt anybody if it's got a 20-foot boat or a 10-foot boat. It's not going to pack the ground anymore if that's what we're looking at. It's certainly not going to make a difference in sight. I just understand all these. What's all these big problems here? I just don't.
We haven't got any problems. We're deferring on it till next, and he's just putting it.
We must have a problem. You discussed it here, didn't we?
Okay.
Mr. Wilson, would you be interested in possibly meeting with the applicant and Mr. Lang to help put together these conditions, since it is in your district?
Well, if I don't hear from people, my constituents in my area, and they've got signs all up, and if nobody shows up against it, I mean, I don't know where we need to make a big ordeal about this.
It's typical that when planning and zoning approves something, they provide us with a list of conditions so that we can have a body of evidence and a record, so that if it were to come up later on in court, there is something that we can show. Right now, because of the action of planning and zoning, we really don't have anything. I think what I'm hearing Mr. Wilson say is that he believes that those conditions should be very liberal, for lack of a better term, and not be very restrictive. Could I ask Mr. Lank and the applicant to get together? And if Mr. Wilson would like to join them, that would be fine. But we do need something for conditions and findings of fact for the record. If there's no other discussion, I'd like to take the vote on the motion to defer. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Mr. Lank, are you ready on Blue Hen Organics?
Almost. For the benefit of council, I'm passing down copies of an exhibit booklet. For this application,
Mr. Gr-